All right, let's get underway. Welcome. If you need to put your headphones on, then please do. If you don't, then I'll speak about this loudly and everything's good to go. My name's Andrew Coates. I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft. I'm based in Sydney, and my particular role at the moment is around the Internet of Things and phones and devices and the cloud. But I have a love of things office, and it's a fairly strange thing to have. And I think it probably goes back to the days when I was we're all friends here, right? When I was a FoxPro developer. Is anyone here a FoxPro in their history? Yeah, one or two. There's always a few, and they usually duck their heads like this when they say it, but it's awesome. It's a great product. And one of the great things that FoxPro developers always did was to integrate with other stuff, including Office. And of course, one of the things I always did when I integrated with Office was build documents. And it was always a matter of automating the Office clients. So automating Word and PowerPoint and Excel. And sometimes I'd need to do that on the server, and that was a right pain because you had to have either someone sitting in the server room watching the screen for when the modal dialog popped up so they could press OK, or you had to write an application that sat outside your application that simply watched for modal dialogs and automatically clicked the OK button, because that was the only way you could get things to continue when things broke in Office. Now, more recently than that, I've had a lot of fun building documents with OpenXML, and it's a huge, huge step forward in terms of being able to do it, both in terms of speed and in terms of your capabilities. And so what I'm going to talk about today is some of the deep dive lessons I've learned about building OpenXML documents. Has anybody here worked with OpenXML? OpenXML SDK? OpenXML SDK 2.5? All right, yeah, cool. It's a really, really powerful tool, and I'll talk to you a little bit about it and where it came from. But before we do that, I want to kind of go back a little bit in time. Once upon a time, we had Office documents, and Office documents were good, and they were these great big monoliths that there was pretty much nothing you could do to them. You basically had to rely on your Office client to build it for you, and had to rely on your Office client to read it for you. And if you made any change to the document anywhere within it, it basically broke. And I don't know how many people who had a doc file or a PPT file or an XLS file ever had it corrupted. Yeah, one or two, yeah? It's not a fun time, and trying to recover those things was always a bit of a pain. So, some time ago, in around 2006, 2007, Microsoft proposed a new standard for Office documents, which is the Office OpenXML. And we'll talk a little bit about its structure, because I think it's really important to understand the structure of the OpenXML documents, to understand what the OpenXML SDK is doing, and therefore to understand how easy it is to build documents with it and build complex documents with it. Nowadays, it's just a zip file, and it uses this open packaging convention. Now, the open packaging convention is really, really interesting because it simply is an industry standard zip file which contains industry standard XML files, and the XML files are either the content themselves or telling you how the content relates to the other content around it, which is the relationships. Yeah, so it consists of parts and relationships. Most of those files are probably XML. They don't have to be, and we'll see how we actually embed other things as well, like pictures in there, and how we can manipulate those as part of the process. But really, it's just a zip file. Has anyone ever done this? Let's go to number five. I've got a document here, which is called testdoc.docx, and I'm going to open it up for you. And show you what it looks like. It's actually the technical requirements document for this session, which I filled in and sent off to the organisers. And Word is opening really quickly. Yes, there we go. You know, it's quite a nice looking document, beautiful. I'm going to close it again now. And I'm just going to go in here and rename it. And I get this dialog that says, hey, you sure you want to rename a file? It might change how it works. Yes. Yes, stand back. And now it's a zip file. I'm going to open it up. And this is what's in an Office document. Has anyone not seen this before? It's pretty cool, huh? It's just a zip file. And the zip file has got a relationships folder, a base relationships folder. I'll talk about the things you have to have in a Word document, and the things you have to have in a spreadsheet document, and things you have to have in a PowerPoint document in a moment. But this is what this one's got. It's got a relationships folder. And the relationships folder has got a .rels file, which simply says, here's how these things relate to each other. And what have I opened this in? WordPad, there we go. Here's how things relate to each other. It's just an XML file. Don't be too scared about what's in there, but it is just XML. Oops, sorry. Try that. It's got three folders in it, in fact, and a content types file. The three folders are any custom XML we've got in this particular document, and there's a couple of things in there. We might talk a bit about that as we go later on. It's got document properties, and documents have both core properties and application properties. Core properties are common across any type of Open Packaging Convention document, and app properties are specific to the application. So an app property in a spreadsheet might be a number of sheets. In a presentation document, it might be a number of slides. In a Word document, it might be a number of pages. Yep, those sorts of things are application properties. Core properties are who edited it, when was it last edited, when was it last updated, all those things that are common across all documents. And then the actual content is in this folder called Word. And it's got a document, it's got things about the endnotes, it's got things about footnotes and headers and numbering and settings and styles, all that kind of stuff in there. It's also got a relationships folder, and it also has a media folder. And the media folder has got an image in it, and we'll explore that a little bit later on as well. So it literally is just a zip file, which is really, really cool, because as .NET developers, we can manipulate zip files, right? We can open zip files. There are plenty of great libraries that allow you to open zip files and read what's inside them and write other stuff to them. Very, very neat. So that's cool. All right. It's just a zip file. I told you, just a zip file. And it's actually very cool that it's just a zip file, because it means two things. One is it means we can manipulate it, as I just said. But secondly, it's actually really, really robust, because instead of being a monolithic file like the old doc files were, although it appears monolithic, in fact, internally it has a structure. And so if you can read any of the structure, then you've got a chance of recovering bits of it. And so even if one of the relationships parts gets corrupted, or even if one of the image files gets corrupted, or even if one of the footnote parts gets corrupted, we've still probably got access to most of the content, which is really, really important. That's one of the great things about the resiliency of OpenXML files. Now, there are lots and lots of different package types defined in the convention. I'm going to talk about these three. I'm going to talk about presentations, I'm going to talk about documents, I'm going to talk about workbooks or spreadsheets. And these are the three main things you'll probably come across. There are lots more. And if you have a look at the ISO standard, if you have a look at the Open Packaging Convention standard, then all of those things are defined in there. And in fact, all of those things are available through the OpenXML SDK as well. But we're going to look at these particular three. So let's start with the one that most people probably start with, which is documents, which is what we think of as Word files, but it's defined in the standard as documents. And documents consist of, they must have a document tag, which is the root element. Yeah? And this is the thing that defines what is called the main story of a Word document. A Word document can have multiple stories if you want to. There might be, you might have a whole bunch of stuff in EndNotes or in all sorts of other places, but the main story is the document. And then inside the document, there must be a body. And the body is the container of all the structures which comprise that story. So all the things that make up the main document live in the body. And those are paragraphs. And paragraphs contain runs. And runs contain text. Now, this may seem familiar to you if you've done any other sort of XML markup. Yeah, lots of these things, you know, paras and divs and spans and tags and so on, are all common sorts of things that you've seen before. And this is not a coincidence. All right, this is very, very common stuff. It makes it very simple to create by hand the contents of a Word document, because it's just XML with this nested hierarchical structure. In fact, Word is very, very nicely hierarchical. And in fact, this is basically a document has got a bunch of things that come off it. And that's pretty much it. This is all, by the way, from quite a nice set of articles on MSDN, which I've got linked to in the resources. But this is what a document consists of, very nicely, just links to other pieces, footnotes, endnotes, body, and so on. Very, very straightforward. And each of these will have their own XML part in the document. Spreadsheets are also really, really straightforward. They need a sheet. The sheet needs a sheet ID, and then a relationship pointing to the beginning of the sheet. And that's all it needs. In fact, it's even simpler than a Word document. Any sort of reasonable spreadsheet actually needs a whole lot more than this. And we're not going to cover, there's a few things I just don't have time to cover today in spreadsheets, but I'm going to point you towards some references. Spreadsheets have quite an interesting component called the string table. Now, you don't, for optimization purposes, spreadsheets don't store the same string more than once. What they store is they store a table of strings and then a reference in the cell to which string that is. And so when you add a string programmatically to a spreadsheet, for example, what you need to do is check to see if that string is already in the string table. If it is, find out what reference number it is and put the reference to that string in there. If it's not, add an item to the string table and then add a reference to it. If you delete a string again, you need to go and check to see whether you're deleting the last one. And if you are, then you need to take it out of the string table as well. And all that sort of stuff is programmatically fairly straightforward, and the OpenXML SDK helps you with that. But I'm not going to have a chance to cover it today, but I do want you to be aware of it. There's a couple of other interesting things in spreadsheets as well, like pivot tables and those sorts of things, which are fun to do. But at the very base level, you need a sheet. The sheet needs an ID, and then you need a relationship ID saying, here's where the sheet is. That's it. Again, spreadsheets are very, very straightforward structure. The concepts up the top are common across the entire workbook, themes and calculation chains and so on. And the concepts down the bottom are common to the sheet. So the charts and tables and pivot tables all go as children in a fairly straightforward way. So that's pretty easy to understand. But now we come to presentations. And presentations don't look like they need very much as a minimal presentation. They need the presentation itself, which is presentation XML. They need a properties part. They need a slide master. They need a slide layout. They need a theme. And then optionally, if you feel like it, you need some slides. But only if you feel like it. If you don't, it doesn't matter. Everything else, it's like that fantastic, is anyone here a Yes Minister fan? Yeah, there's a couple up the back. Yeah. So Yes Minister, there was a great episode where one of the hospitals that Jim Hackett was the minister for won an award for being the most efficient hospital. And when he investigated further, it was because there were no patients. And of course, the bureaucrats loved this because the patients just got in the way of the efficient running of the hospital. And that seems like a bit like what this is with the slides, right? The slides just get in the way of the efficient building of a presentation. But there's a really interesting warning in this document that tells you what the presentation minimum components are, and it's this one. And I don't usually put this much text on a slide, but I did want to read this out because I think it's a really, really interesting thing. The packaging structure of a presentation document contains several references between the parts, including some circular references. For example, slide layouts reference slide masters, and slide masters reference slide layouts. And you can imagine that building one of these things gets a little bit complicated. And this is the slide, this is the picture, the simple picture that we had from last time. You'll see there's none of this lovely linear layout, you know, a thing at the center and stuff coming off it. There are bits everywhere, and it reminded me very much of this picture. I don't know if anyone recognizes this allusion to Greek mythology. This is Hercules slaying the Hydra. Every time you chopped off one of its heads, a few more grew back. It was, the second task of Hercules, and it was one of those things that really the problem is it can really do your head in, trying to get your head around how presentation documents work. So, into the OpenXML SDK. And this is a very, very big step forward because while I said that we could work with zip files and XML files ourselves, that was still true. All of the handling relationships and all that sort of stuff was busy work that really someone else could do for us. It wasn't important for us to understand how relationships worked and where they should live in the structure of the document. The Open Packaging Convention defined all that. Open XML SDK version 1 allowed you to create OPC documents without having to worry about zip files. You used system.io.packaging, which was the namespace, and you opened files, you opened a document up, and then you could get at the component parts. You still had to write the XML and understand the XML, but you could get at the component parts and put them in the right place and have them referred to in other places in the correct way. That was in 2007. In 2008, we released version 2 of the OpenXML SDK, which is where it should have been all along, which is where we had strong types for all the different document parts and all the different bits of documents. We enabled links, so you could do link queries across documents. You could get, and I'll show you some in the code in a minute, where I want to get all the descendants of a particular type. So you had strongly typed link statements going across the documents, and you could do validation of documents. So you could actually feed the document and ask whether it was a valid OpenXML document. Version 2.5 got released 5 years later, when Office 2013 came out, and there were a few Office 2013 extensions that got added to version 2.5, and it also now allows you to read ISO strict files. The original version only allowed you to read the files that were created and produced for our standard Office documents, which didn't conform to the ISO strict format because they had extensions in them. ISO strict is now readable with version 2.5. It's not writable still. If you want to write stuff, then it still writes with our loose representation of the ISO. And those loose and strict are actually apparently technical terms in ISO talk. In fact, if you ever want to get have a bad bout of insomnia, start reading some of the ISO documents, or even better, the transcripts of their meetings. It is fascinating stuff for about 30 seconds until you drift off into a deep and dreamless sleep. The cool thing about 2.5 is this year it was released as open source. And this is a really, really big step forward, because the OpenXML SDK is a lot of code and a lot of very, very interesting code. And it's still being looked after by Microsoft, but we've now released it into the wild, and we're taking pull requests as well. So if you want something fixed, you can actually fix it and submit it back to the team for inclusion in the next version, which is very, very neat. It's up, it's been released through MS OpenTech, and particularly through, I think, the Microsoft, what's it called? The .NET Foundation. And it's up on GitHub. And you can grab it yourself. Now, you can still download the SDK from the Microsoft servers the way you always could, but if you want to bring it down yourself and compile it, which you might want to do, for example, if you're running it on something other than a Windows machine, which you're allowed to do now, so there's a mono version of it, you can run it on all sorts of other things. It's very, very cool. Then you can grab it, and I've got links to where you can grab it from at the end of this, but the fact that it's open source is very, very cool indeed. Now, I wanted to give you a quick indication as to the difference between OpenXML SDK 1.0 and OpenXML SDK 2.0/2.5. So I'm going to show you the code that you need to go and count the number of nodes in a document, because that's something you might want to do. You might want to know how many different parts or nodes there are in your document. And in the OpenXML SDK 1.0, it looks a bit like this. You start off by opening it up. You need to define a whole bunch of... Don't worry about reading the code. I'm basically making a point that it's a very... very long process, right? That's how much code you need just to work out how many nodes the main document part and how many nodes the style part has. If you wanted to do this in 2.0 or 2.5, it's that. So one of the great advantages of the 2.0 stuff is that we've abstracted away a whole lot of the busy work. So 1.0 was a huge step forward in abstracting away busy work around reading and writing Open Packaging Convention documents. 2.0 and 2.5 were an even bigger step forward around abstracting away much of the busy work around reading the XML files, getting it into a format that you could manipulate and write back. So it's very, very cool. All right. So let's quickly summarize about OpenXML. All documents or packages have the same base structure. That's the Open Packaging Convention, and that's defined in the ISO standard, ISO 2900. And you can, if you want to, build an OpenXML document from scratch. Just a zip file, an XML, yeah? Just like you can, if you want to, pull out your own teeth. It is possible, yeah? It's just not the most comfortable thing to do in the world. So what you really want to do is use the OpenXML SDK, okay? I hope in that little introduction there, I've kind of made the point that the OpenXML SDK is a good thing and that you definitely want to have a look at it. So let's have a look at how you might go about building a simple OpenXML SDK document. I'll just unlock this. Okay, so I've got a little sample application here which I'll make available afterwards. I'm just gonna run it up. This is just a WPF application that wraps a few things that I wanna show you. So the first one is, let's generate some minimum documents. So remember I told you there were, you know, the minimum things you needed for a Word document and a spreadsheet and a PowerPoint document. I haven't done the minimum PowerPoint one. I've got a simple presentation. It's not a minimum one, but it's a simple one in the moment. But let's generate a couple of minimum documents. The minimum documents are, I'll show you for Excel and for Word. So there's the Excel one. It's got nothing in it, but it is a document. And you'll see Windows Plus up the top here, all of my documents in this demo that I create, you can tell when I've created them. They're all called at the date and time I've created them, okay? So if you see one that's not called whatever time it was right now, then you can call BS on me. But everything's created on the fly here, and I've named them based on the time and date they were created. So there's the Excel one. It's got nothing in it. And the Word one, I put some text in it. I just put Hello World in there. Yep. So how do I go about doing that? Well, the OpenXML SDK is actually really, really easy to use. So generate minimum documents. That's this one here. Generate minimum documents. It's just going to create two document generators, one for documents and one for workbooks, and then generate the documents and display the documents. Now, before I go too much further, I just want to explain that for the purposes of this demo, I've got a base class called the OpenXML Generator class, which basically allows me to define a default extension, a default document name, and an override for generate document, and then a display document, which simply does a process.start on the document name. That's all that does. So there's no trickiness going on behind the scenes. It simply saves me having to rewrite this code every time we do a different document generator. So they're all just based on that base class. So the minimum document generator is really straightforward as well. The minimum document generator, after the constructor, which basically says this is going to have a docx extension, all we have to do is create a new word processing document, which is part of the OpenXML SDK. And we do document.create, and we give it the name, which is the one we generated with the date and time before. And we tell it we want it to be an OpenXML word processing type document. Yeah, now there are lots of different things in this enum. Even at document type, there are documents, macro-enabled documents, macro-enabled templates, and templates. So if you were to translate that into extensions, documents, DOCX, macro-enabled documents, DOCM, templates, DOCT, DOTX, sorry, DOTX, and macro-enabled templates, DOTM. Yeah, so these are the things you'd expect to see when you've got, if you're creating those document types in Word. But we're just going to use document. And then we're going to add a main document part. Remember I said it needs a main part? It needs the document piece. We're going to add the body. Remember I said we needed a body? And then the body needs a paragraph. And the paragraph needs a run. And the run needs some text. Yeah? So this is this hierarchy that I was talking to you about before. This hierarchy says there's a body, and the body you can append a paragraph, and the paragraph you can append a run, and the run you can append text. And that's what gave us our Hello World. Yeah. So you can imagine you could have multiple paragraphs, you could have multiple runs within paragraphs, you could have multiple text within runs, all that stuff works. Yeah. But we're just doing it, it's a single one of each at this stage. We do the same thing for our minimum workbook generator. Then once again, we do the same thing, doc extension XLSX. And this time I'm going to create a spreadsheet document type workbook. But again, there are add-ins and macro-enabled templates and macro-enabled workbooks and templates and workbooks. I'm going to add a workbook part. And then the workbook part has a workbook that lives in it. And the workbook is the main thing you see when you open Excel. And a workbook has got multiple worksheets, one or more worksheets. And so there's a worksheet part. And I'm going to add new part and see we've got a generic here to add a new part of worksheet part. And then the worksheet part and has a worksheet itself. And I have new sheet data. And the sheet data, by default, has got all the details about the sheet name and a bunch of calculation stuff and all those sorts of things. And then I append I append some sheets to the document. So I append the sheets collection to the document. And then I add a sheet to that collection, and I give it a name, which is my sheet. And then I save it, and then I close it. So again, you can see it's a fairly straightforward thing. We just go down the hierarchy, creating the things we need. Now, again, I've not put anything special. In fact, I've not put anything at all in this spreadsheet. It's simply a blank spreadsheet. And there's no particular reason why you create a blank spreadsheet, except that there's a start for you for whatever you want, what else you want to put into it. All right. I also want to show you the simple documents. I'll just generate a simple document, which I've done a little bit more than just the minimum with. So I've got a bit of text that says OpenXML rocks. I've got a bit of text that said this paragraph added all in one line. You'll see what that means in a minute. I've added a bunch more paragraphs, and you'll see that they're sequentially numbered, and we'll look at why that happened. And then I've added a heading. And the heading is truly a heading. So if I click on here, it's my heading. It's called my heading. It's actually the same level as heading one, but it's a true style in the way that Word documents should have true styles. Does anyone else grit their teeth when they see one of their children or one of their coworkers starting to type and they press Control B and they increase the font size because they're putting a heading in and rather than using the building styles or changing the styles themselves? That's one of the things that drives me crazy because, and I'm still yet to convince my wife that it's a good idea, right? She said, but it's quicker to press Control B. And unfortunately, I have no comeback to that. But you know, we'll see. But in the purest way, this is a pure style. So let's see how that gets created. So when I clicked the simple presentation, I just instantiated my simple presentation generator. And again, it does the same thing with the constructor. Oh, sorry, that's presentation. I didn't mean that one. What I meant was this one, simple document generator. Simple document generator just creates the document. And then it goes through and does these things. Remember we said we're going to add a new body, a new paragraph, a new run, a new text, and the OpenXML SDK rocks. Yeah, so that's our first paragraph was added with, you know, paragraph, run, text. But you don't have to do that. You can append a new paragraph which takes a new run in its constructor, which takes a new text in its constructor, and you can concatenate this all into one line. Yeah, so this para all added all in one line. Yeah, pretty straightforward. You can create a bunch of paragraphs. So I've now got a new paragraph with new text, string.format, paragraph, and whatever paragraph number we're up to, plus three, because we've already got two of them, right? Yeah, and we're going three to seven rather than one to five. And now we've got a list of paragraphs, and we can append that list. So we don't have to append just a single paragraph. We can append an innumerable or even an array of type OpenXML child. And this particular case, they're all the same, but they don't have to be. You can build up a whole collection of OpenXML children and add them all at once if you want to, which is a very, very powerful technique. And then we've added this one with a new style. We add a heading paragraph with this as a heading, and we apply the style of the paragraph, doc, my heading, yep, and we append the heading paragraph. Now, what I've done is I've actually hidden, if you can see down the bottom here, the style methods. We go from line 62 to line 195 with a hash region for the style stuff. The style stuff is not necessarily complicated, but there's a whole bunch of stuff you need to do to get styles right. Styles, you know, and again, I'm happy to show it to you, but it's but the cool thing is it's the sort of thing you can write once and use in a lot of different places. So, you know, if you want to apply a style, you need to check the style exists. If it doesn't exist, you have to create it. If it does exist, then you need to apply the style, all that kind of stuff. There's a bunch of those sort of checking things you need to do. The great thing is, as I said, you can build it into a library and do it only once, and it's very, very straightforward. So I've hidden that, but it will be available in the code for download. That's what I wanted to hide there. Beautiful. All right. Now let's look at creating a simple presentation. A simple presentation simply has a single title slide with title and subtitle. That's all it's got. Pretty straightforward, right? Really, really easy. Did you forget about the Hydra? It's actually not that simple. But I won't say it's complicated, it's just complex. There's many things to do. There's a difference between complicated and complex in this particular case. All right, so let's see how that works, because it's actually, as I said, it's not horrible. So basically, we do the same thing. We In our generate document, we create a package which has got a document name and the we want a document type presentation. Of course, there are other types as well. Add-ins, macro-enabled, slideshows, templates, presentations, and so on. This is a presentation. And then we hit create parts, passing the package. That's all we have to do, except create parts. Let me just go to the bottom of this. Create parts is pretty straightforward. It's only 138 lines. But then if you actually want the bits that go into create parts, it's another 7,000 lines. I don't know if you can see down the bottom here, but there's a lot of stuff that goes into a simple document, yeah? And this is because we have layouts and notes layouts and slide layouts and all the different master views and all that stuff has to go into a document. Otherwise, it doesn't know how to get rendered. Yeah? It can't just make that stuff up. It needs to know where a particular document where a particular bit of text has to be displayed, how a particular image has got to be rendered, whether it's got to have a particular transform applied to it. And that's the case. That's fairly easy to do if you want to do it explicitly, but if you want to do it by default the same way on every slide, then you've got to put all that information into a template somewhere, which is what you have to do. All right. That's cool. All right. So, hopefully I've scared you a little bit about how hard it is to create OpenXML documents, even with the OpenXML SDK. And now I want to take you on a journey as to how easy it actually is to work with them. Yeah? I've tried to do the emotional roller coaster thing. We've gone up to here. We're going, oh, it's really scary. We're going to go down this great big... And then we'll come up the other side gently and over the hill. And there'll be a lovely horizon that we can see with a sunset in the distance. How's that? No? Sunsets? Okay, good. All right. I want to talk first about, and I'm only switching back across here to give me a quick break to change this side over here. Talk first a little bit about deconstructing OpenXML documents, because the deconstruction of documents is actually really important. If someone sends you a document, it's often really useful to be able to pull information out of it and manipulate it and either use that information for something or to send it back to them in some sort of changed way. Now, there are a couple of ways you can deconstruct documents, and the easiest way is the one I showed you right at the start, which is renaming the zip file. Renaming to a zip file, and now you can use it like a zip file. Very, very straightforward, yeah? You can pull stuff out of it. In fact, it's so easy to do. Let's show you that zip file again. Manual deconstruction. We'll go back to TechEd 2014. Here's the zip file once more. If I want to go into Word and then Media and then Image, there's the TechEd Australia image. Now, interestingly, I think this is fascinating, the image is stored in its original format. This is not what used to happen in the old document style. It used to be that if you inserted an image, however compressed, it would get stored in the document as an uncompressed bitmap, which very quickly blew out the size of your documents, which very quickly led you to potential problems opening documents again, because the size often made a big difference as to how easy it was to open the file. Yeah, so this is a JPEG file, and so it gets stored as a JPEG file. If it's a PNG file, it gets stored as a PNG file. If it's a bitmap, it gets stored as a bitmap. If it's a TIFF file, it gets stored as a TIFF file. All that stuff is handled by the OpenXML SDK, and it's just stored in a place in the zip structure. Now, how do you know what that place is? Well, you need to look at this relationships file. And if we look at document.xml.rels, what I really wanted to do is... Nah, it's all right. We'll read it in WordPad like real developers, yeah? What I really wanted to do is find that media file. Oops. Control F. Nope. Okay, I'm looking in the wrong relationships. Don't save. Yeah. All right. Did I find it? Where is it? Ah, all right. So something I've done with my resolution, perhaps. Anyway, there's a relationships that tells you where it goes. And in the relationships file, it basically points directly at that media file and has a link to it. And I don't know what I've done wrong there. Something silly. Should have written it down. That teaches me for going off topic, off script. Anyway, there's a relationship file. We can get all the bits and pieces. What's more, there's a custom XML area which has got interesting information in it. Well, that's the bibliography stuff. Item one has got some interesting stuff in it. Now, the cool thing about the custom XML area is that we can store our own stuff there. And what's more, we can link to it within the document and have things updated as part of it. If you want to go and have a look at custom XML link content controls, there's a reference to it in my resources. But it's a really interesting way of passing data around that gives users a way of doing data entry into a document type that they understand. So if you create an open XML document with a custom XML piece, and the custom XML data is exposed as fields in your document, your users can edit the fields, and that automatically gets reflected back into that custom XML. And then it's really, really simple for you to go and grab that XML once someone sends it back to you and just process it, rather than having to go and find it in the document and look after it that way. So that's definitely worth checking out. So manual deconstruction is really interesting. But much more interesting, I think, is programmatic deconstruction and reconstruction. So I want to show you a PowerPoint. This is a series of quite gorgeous images that that the son of a friend of mine took, and Sam's very kindly agreed to let me use them. Gorgeous pictures of the northern beaches, yeah? Beautiful. Oh, these are all taken with a GoPro, by the way, which I thought was pretty cool. Look at, stunning, gorgeous. Who wouldn't want to live on the northern beaches of Sydney? Check it out, it's beautiful. However, one of the problems Sam has with making his images available in PowerPoint, which is one of the ways he likes to distribute it, is that people steal it. And so what he really wants to be able to do is put a PowerPoint together, but actually watermark all his images. And so I've written a little application to help him do exactly that. So let's go back into here and run this up. And so remember that document. I'm going to open that document and add watermarks to all those images. So I'll show you how this works in a moment. But here's that same document, but now with our code on there. This is DPP407. This is a great code. If you wanted to put a hashtag in, you're tweeting about how much you're enjoying it at the moment, that's the one to put there. If you wanted to put a tweet in there saying how much you're not enjoying it, the hashtag is actually MCI306. That's on Nextdoor. But see, we've just been able to overlay these images, and this is a really straightforward thing to do. This is just .NET code. So any .NET programmer can take an image and overlay a watermark, right? It's pretty straightforward to do. If you can't do it, it takes about 15 seconds of searching on Stack Overflow to learn how to do it. That's how long it took me. And it really is straightforward. But what you need to do is get those images out of the document somehow, update them, and then put them back in. And let's see how simple that is to do. So if I want to add watermarks, then what I do is I go and grab that file that I want to add it to, because I'm going to make a copy. And then instead of creating, which is what I did before when I said presentation document.create, I actually do a presentation document.open. Now, and this part is really important. I do it in a using statement. Now, you don't have to do it in a using statement. You can explicitly close it. But I always forget to close it. And the using statement closes it for me. And it's really important to close it, because if you don't close it, it doesn't save. And it takes you forever to work out why the bloody thing is not updating. So anyway, use your using statement. Okay, I'm also opening this watermark image. And the watermark image is actually really straightforward. It's just using paint.net and a transparent background and a semi-transparent bit of text, which I've rotated. Yeah, really, really easy. Then I go and find the presentation part. I go and grab the slides in the presentation and then check that there's a slide. And then finally I go, well, find all the image parts in this slide. Remember, this is the strongly typed bit I was talking about before. If I was doing this in OpenXML SDK 1.0, I would have to go and parse the information, the XML, go and do a whole lot of really weird XPath stuff and so on. But now I just go, just give me all the image parts. If it's a PNG file, because I know all of my image parts are PNG files, I didn't have to do that, but I just wanted to check for sure. I'm going to go and add the watermark. And what I do is I can go and grab the stream of binary data. I can get the image as a stream, which is really, really cool. I go and add the watermark. Add watermark's really straightforward. Basically, it says go and get go and make a graphics, go and make a texture brush, and overlay the image with the watermark texture brush. Pardon me. Okay, so now we have the stream. The main image. We have the main image, which we can convert to a stream later, and the watermark, which is an image, and then I can basically go and save I use the image and say I want to put it into a memory stream as PNG format again. I then have to do this, which I also always forget. If you're working with streams and you want to write them again, you've got to seek back to the beginning. And this took me about 3.5 hours to figure out why my images weren't appearing in the document, because I was writing 0 bytes back, because my pointer was at the end of the stream. Yeah, seek and you shall something, I don't know. And then you basically just write it back. And this is the important method for writing back. You can write back with feed data. You'd think if you've got get stream, you'd think you'd have put stream, right? That'd make sense. That'd be a sensible thing if you had a method called get stream. You'd have an opposing method called put stream. But no, you have get stream and feed data. So you feed the data back. And you pass it a stream and it just writes it back. And that's all you have to do. And the document gets automatically saved when you finish the using statement. And now we've replaced our images with new versions of the same image. This is the beauty of the OpenXML format, because those images have changed in size, right? Inherently, they must be different sizes because they're PNG files and they have different compression based on, you know, all that stuff has happened. That the cool thing about the OpenXML SDK is it doesn't care what the sizes are. It used to be that if you wanted to update images in a Word document and you wanted to do it programmatically, then you had to be really careful about making sure that when you updated the bitmap, which is the only way it was stored, you didn't change the length, because then you had pointers pointing at the wrong spot and all kinds of stuff. The zip file takes care of all of that for you. The open packaging convention takes care of all that for you. It's very, very awesome. All right. Yes, 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 yes. All right. So what I want to talk about now, we're talking about how to pull documents apart. What I want to talk about now is how to build documents, and build quite complex documents. Yeah, because this is the interesting stuff. The building simple documents is great, but I wouldn't call it deep. It's just, yes, it's cool, you can build simple documents. What you really want to be able to do is build really, really complex and compelling documents. You want to insert stuff. Documents can contain other documents. Documents can contain graphs and spreadsheets and presentations. Documents can contain all sorts of objects, and it's really a powerful thing to be able to do. So let's look at creating a complex document. Now this complex document is moderately complex. It's got it's a school report called On Butterflies. It's something that I need to produce fairly regularly, because my kids are of an age where butterflies are really important to them. And it's got a lot of stuff in there. It's got, you know, graphics that reflect. It's got, you know, who it's by. It's got a whole bunch of styles and other graphics. It's got a chart, so how far butterflies can fly based on their weight. It's got a presentation that hello. There we go. If I right-click on it, and I can edit this object, and it actually is editing in PowerPoint, because it's actually an embedded PowerPoint file, and it's also got a whole spreadsheet, and the spreadsheet has got charts in it, all those sorts of things. It's really, really, it's quite a complex document, yeah. I want to show you how many lines of code it takes to write a document like this. It's not insignificant. So we'll go over here and main window, and then complex document clicked. And we'll go to this. Now, this is an interesting. This is a very interesting file. It basically says similar to what we said before, is that generate a document, it creates the package and does a create parts. And create parts is about 150 lines long, but the entire document, the entire bit of code, if I go to the end of it, it takes a moment or two to do that. I press Control End, by the way. We're getting there. This is a significantly long piece of code. This is the sort of thing you might have to write one day. Now, the cool thing is that I did not write this. This is the really, really cool part of this presentation, I think. I didn't write this. I didn't have to write it. What I did instead was I used this awesome, awesome tool called the OpenXML Productivity Tool, which comes with 2.5. And this is a critical tool if you're doing OpenXML development. You cannot live without it. Unfortunately, it comes with the SDK for free, as in beer, which is kind of nice. And what I can do is I can go and open a file, and my on butterflies document, which is 2 and a bit megabytes, opens up here, and it opens up on the left-hand side here. Unfortunately, one of the things this great tool doesn't have is the ability to zoom in on the text. But I go in here, and I can see that it's got this great tree structure of my document. Yeah, it's got the properties, it's got the document itself, it's got things that are embedded, that PowerPoint slide is embedded, the Excel worksheet's embedded. It's got drawings and glossaries and things. Very, very complex, very, very straightforward, very, very cool. But what I really want to do is actually get this in code. So what I can do is I can just say I want to reflect that code. And now it creates the entire C# library for me that I need to write that document. Now, this is very cool if you want to create that exact document every time, which is what I wanted to do for this demonstration. But what if you want to create something that's a little bit more customizable? Well, the neat thing is that every piece of this, every single piece of this has got classes and entry points that you can, instead of having hard-coded, you can put in whatever you like. It's just C# code. So if I were to go to the document piece or the, where are we? I wonder what's in here. I can have a look at any one of these components, and the C# code for just that component is reflected for me. And what's more, enough of the C# code, enough wrappers around it that it all makes sense. Was that a 10 minutes run at the back? Thank you. Beautiful. All right. That's very, very neat. This is a tool you cannot do without. And although I showed you this very complex document that got created and 14,500 lines of C# code, fairly turgid C# code, I might add, you don't need to write it yourself. And the beaut thing is that this tool takes away heaps of that grunt work. The other thing I want to show you how to do is start with a document that someone else has created for you, not create it from scratch. But this is something you might easily do if you have a designer building invoice templates or PowerPoints or whatever it happens to be. What you can do is you can open up a document in the same way that I showed you before. Let me show you a templated document. In fact, let me show you a couple of things. The first one's this one. I have a an app I'm writing at the moment for internal use where we're going to help our salespeople bundle surfaces with phones and a bunch of other things, and we want to be able to get them to make quotations. And so what I've got is a document that a designer, that's me, created that has got some placeholders for where you want to put certain things. And the neat thing is that in code I can go through and fill this in. So I've got a place for who it's prepared for and who it's prepared by. If I click on here, it actually has a name, Windows Plus. It has the name. These are just what they call content controls in Word, right? You can add a content control really, really easily. And a designer can add a content control and say, this is where the person who prepared the quote's name has got to go. This is where the person that's prepared for's name's got to go. This is where the phone number's got to go. This is where the table of items that you're going to sell have got to go, and so on. And this is really, really neat because I don't have to worry about how it's going to look. All I've got to do is open this template and create something from it. So let's have a look. So remember what this looks like. I'll close that, and then I'll go back into here, and we'll create a templated document, a document template. And so here's that same thing with all of the information added. So I've taken the document that my designers created. Sorry, I don't want anyone car sick, but there we go. And here's all that information put into the document. It's got details about all the different things that we want, what this person wants to buy, how much it's going to cost in total, and then a discount and a total and how many seats and how much that costs per seat per month. All that kind of stuff is all in there. And the terms and conditions, which were added at the bottom of the template, which I didn't have to touch. Yeah, but all of the stuff around styling of tables, all the stuff around styling of headings, all the stuff around where images get placed, all the stuff around fonts, that's taken care of for me by someone who cares about those things. All I had to do was shove the stuff in there. And shoving the stuff in there is actually remarkably easy. Shoving the stuff in there is simply a matter of so basically to generate the document, I go and create a dummy quote. This is the thing that's going to get passed to me as an object, or I'm going to create as an object and then visualize. And then I go and do a create quotation document, which I'll show you in a sec, and which returns me a stream. And then I just copy that stream out to wherever my document name was. Now, the create quotation document stuff is interesting. The dummy quote, don't worry about it. It's just basically line items and who it's for and all that sort of stuff. But the create document stream is the interesting part, because what I get to do is I go and get that. I go and open that document, go to the start, and then copy it to my temp, copy it to where I'm going to output it to. And then I say, I go and get the document from the template, which is simply a matter of doing an open. In fact, let's see what that looks like. It's just a word processing document.open, but instead of passing a file name, which is what I've done before, I pass it a stream, because you can do that with the OpenXML SDK. It's very, very neat. And true means that I want it to be updatable. And then I go through the quotation and fill in the blanks with this replace content control and replace content control paragraphs. Really, really easy. So replace content control simply goes and says, okay, find me in the document, in the main document, find me all the descendants of type std run, which is a standard run type, where, so this is the link statement, where the first child of the type tag has a value of whatever the content control name was. And this is a simple way of going and finding the content control which has a particular name. Yeah, so it's just a link statement to go and get that stuff. Really, really easy to do. So now I've got a reference to that content control. Now, if I found one, I say, well, go and remove that control because I don't want the content control in there. I actually want the contents. But before I remove it, go and find out what the control's parent is, because I'm going to need to add stuff back in place of the control. So find out what the parent is, go and remove stuff, remove the control, and then I can just say, put in this new text. And the new text is just a run with some text in it. It's not a paragraph, because that's a separate thing that I've got. It's just a run with some text in it. That's all I've got to do. But notice I do that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, because there are five different places where I need to replace single text. There are also two places where I need to put whole paragraphs in there, and the whole paragraphs are the address, who it was prepared for, and the line items themselves. So I build an entire table, and I just shove that in where it says put the table here. Yeah, really, really easy. Okay, and like, you know, the other cool thing is that I can do a bunch of calculations. I can go and find out what the subtotal is, and from my quote, then go and get the total, which is the subtotal, less the discount, and put the discount in there, and calculate the cost per seat per month, all that kind of stuff. It's just standard .NET code, and I put the information directly into the document. This is very, very cool stuff. All right. Okay. So I've taken you on, I hope, a fairly deep dive into some fairly complex things, but there's lots of stuff I haven't covered. So in spreadsheets, remember I said we haven't covered the shared string table. We talked about that concept of calculation chains and formulas and pivot tables. I really brushed very briefly over spreadsheets because we didn't have time to cover some of the complexity of that. There are some great how-to details on the MSDN site, and there's a link to that in the references. In presentations, I didn't talk at all about animations or how you do handouts or notes and those sorts of things. But again, the how-to documents have got some really great detail in that. And in documents themselves, I glossed very quickly over the concept of styles and themes. But again, the code that to generate the styles is in that in the code that I've got here, and also lots of great stuff on MSDN. I have heaps of resources. I hope you've all remembered all of those. What I do want to do before I take questions is leave you with this. The OpenXML SDK is an amazing boon for us as developers, because most, if not all of our end users really, really want to be able to see stuff in spreadsheets and presentations and documents. We as developers like dealing with stuff in code and repeatable, and we don't have to worry about design and those sorts of complexities. This OpenXML SDK gives us the bridge to go from the stuff we're good at to the stuff our users want in very, very little time. And it gives us the ability to generate literally thousands or hundreds of thousands of documents on either client or server side without having to have the Office suite installed, and quickly get that information to customers and then bring it back to analyze and decompose if we need to. So thanks very much. So we've got a few minutes for questions if people would like to ask questions. If you do want to ask a question, chuck your hand up. There's a microphone at the back. Otherwise, I'm more than happy for you to come down the front and have a chat to me up here. Nope, no questions? All right, so come up the front if you'd like to chat.